Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have more of the genius of Norman Corwin in two episodes of Columbia Presents Corwin. Norman Corwin was a prestige offering, and his shows were always sustained by the network and not associated with any product or sponsorship. We have two outstanding programs this week, The Odyssey of Runyon Jones and The Undecided Molecule. First, we have the imaginative story of the journey through the universe by a boy who lost his dog. Columbia presents Corwin, The Odyssey of Runyon Jones, first broadcast April 4th, 1944 on CBS.
Columbia presents Corwin. Tonight, for the first time in 3 years, Norman Corwin brings you his Odyssey of Runyon Jones.
Being a fantasy in six scenes and one act with no moral attached. The fifth program, incidentally, of this series. Starring Michael Artist as Runyon. And illuminated by an original musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Semler.
Department of Lost Dogs?
Yes?
I'm looking for my dog.
Your name?
Runyon Jones.
Runyon?
Yes, sir. It's a terrible name, but Mother says I'll like it when I grow up because it's distinguished, she says. The other boys all call me Onion.
What's the name of your dog?
Putsy.
Putsy?
Yes, sir. He's very smart, sir.
When did you lose him?
Yesterday morning.
Where?
Right outside my house. He was chasing an automobile.
Why?
He wanted to bite the tires, I think.
Front or rear?
All of them.
What happened?
The car ran over him.
And then?
He was killed, sir.
Then you're on the wrong floor. This is the Department of Lost Dogs. What you want is the Department of Deceased Dogs.
Where is that, sir?
Two flights up. Here, take this slip and hand it to the man at the desk.
Thank you, sir. Department of Diseased Dogs?
Deceased, not diseased. Let me see that slip.
Yes, sir.
Putsy. You Runyon Jones?
Yes, sir.
Just a minute. Let me look at the file. Jones, J. Orlando, Penelope, Pluto, Putsy Jones. Mm-hmm. 1.5 years old, inveterate auto chaser, leash, attitude. Young man, I don't think there's anything we can do for you.
You can't find Putsy?
Ordinarily, in a good many cases, when a boy's dog dies from old age or natural causes, or is merely run over while chasing a cat in line of duty, or is fatally wounded in a fight with other dogs, we can make arrangements with St. Bernard, the proprietor of Dog Heaven, for the return of the animal on a limited basis.
What's a limited basis?
But, in the case of Putsy, he's down in the files as an inveterate auto chaser and tire nipper class 4. Also, it is known that he's resisted leashes, that he bit a dog catcher on August 11th last, and that he stayed out all night on 3 separate occasions. I'm sorry to say he's not in Dog Heaven.
No? Gosh. Are you sure, mister? Couldn't he have snuck in when nobody was looking?
He is not in Dog Heaven, and that settles that.
Well, where is he, then?
In the place where all ill-behaved curs are punished. Purgatory.
Where's that? I'll go there.
Oh, no. Impossible.
But he won't chase any more automobiles. I swear it. Look, honest, I'll spit on my hand and touch my forehead 3 times.
What's that mean?
That's the secret oath, the Elmwood Street AC, which means Pledge of Honor.
Nevertheless, it will be impossible.
But, Poots, he'll be lonely without me. I have to find him.
Please go now. I'm busy.
But, gee whiz, I came all the way
now
here.
Now, go quietly, Mr. Jones, or I shall have to call an officer.
I won't go. I won't go without Putsy. You got him somewhere and you're hiding him on.
Now, listen here.
I won't listen. You give me my dog back or I'll kick you in the shins. Putsy!
No.
Putsy!
No.
You locked him up and you won't let me have him because you want to keep him for yourself. I know.
No. Stop. Stop kicking me. No, stop that. Officer, what's going on here?
I think you'd both better explain the matter to the superintendent of the division.
I certainly will. I'm not going to stand for being kicked in the shins by any young brat who happens to come along. No wonder his dog's in purgatory. I can see where the animal learned his bad manners.
You take that back. I did not teach Putsy his bad manners. He taught himself.
Now quiet, both of you, and follow me. We'll explain it all to the super.
I will tell the super what you said.
I see. Well, there are things to be said for both sides. Now, first of all, I suggest that you two shake hands and apologize to each other.
Well, all right. I'm sorry I kicked you in the shins, mister.
That's all right. I may possibly have lost my temper a bit, too.
Yes. And now, Mr. Jones, let me explain what the clerk was trying to tell you. We do not keep any dogs here on the premises. The most we can do is to refer applications to the right parties. It so happens we have connections with Dog Heaven through our good friend St. Bernard. But unfortunately, there's no contact whatsoever, none at all, with Purgatory.
Well, isn't there any way of getting to Purgatory, sir? Because I'll go myself if you'll only tell me how to get there, sir. I got here by myself.
Clerk, there's obviously quite an attachment to the dog in this case.
He was attached to a leash, but he kept breaking away on account he liked to run fast.
Yes. Now, Mr. Jones, I think you're a likely lad. So I'm going to tell you frankly that the chances of your ever getting Putsy back are very, very slim.
They are? Why is that, sir?
Because Purgatory is a great, great distance away and extremely hard to get to. In fact, nobody we know seems to know just how one does get there. But if you're willing to take risks and chances...
Yes, sir, I'll do anything. Gee whizzikers, if you only knew Putsy...
Then I'll tell you how to get somebody who may know somebody who knows somebody else who can send you to the right place so that you might be able to find out how to set out for Purgatory.
Gosh, would you, sir?
Glad to. Clerk, get me Form 5, the blue slip, and also applications for the interdivisional visa and interdepartmental passport. Then clip on the transfer coupons and the pink manifest.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Jones, this is what you do. There's only one person I know who can possibly set you on the right track, and that's the head of the Division of Time. We call him Father Time. His place is quite far, and you'll have to make several changes before you get there. That's what all the tickets are for.
Shall I say you sent me?
That won't do much good. He's very busy, and he won't have much time to talk to you. Tell him quickly what you're after, and if he can assist you, he'll tell you quickly. He hates to waste time.
The papers, sir.
Very good. Mr. Jones, will you fill out this blank and sign these two while I stamp these documents?
Yes, sir.
Clerk, see that he gets put safely on the Golden Escalator with instructions to change at the Inter-Heaven Junction for the Nebula Express.
Wouldn't it be better for him to take the westbound Power Special? That crosses the meridian 2 light hours ahead of the Neb.
Yes, but then he'd have to wait at Asterion for the ecliptic local. It's better the other way.
Maybe you're right.
Have you finished, Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir. I got an ink spot all over the sheet here. Will that make any difference?
No. Well, Mr. Jones, I guess that does it.
Thank you, Mr. Superintendent. Gosh, Putsy's sure gonna be glad to see me.
Don't be too sure you'll find him, because you're liable to be disappointed, you know. But good luck, anyway.
Thank you.
Now, young man, if you come with me, I'll see that you get onto the golden escalator.
All right, I'm coming.
Say that you came all the way here to ask if I know anybody who can help you find a dog named Putsy?
Yes, Father Time.
Don't you realize that I'm very busy?
Yes, Father Time, but it won't take you long to tell me whether...
Quiet, quiet. I've got to listen for the time signals. Ah, that means that the eclipse of three moons on Jupiter was right on time.
He was a little dog about so...
When you hear the time signal, it will be exactly 1:62 on Uranus.
Ah, shucks. That was 37 thousandths of a second late. I must make a note of that. We'll have to make it up in the year 7,302,000,000. Now, what was it you wanted, little man?
Well, sir, could you tell me how I could get to Kirgatory? Because my dog, Putsy...
Oh, yes, yes. Was he a delinquent dog?
No, sir, a mongrel.
When you hear the musical note, it will be the 172nd millionth anniversary of the birth of the first dinosaur.
Remind me to send an anniversary message of facilitations to M.N.
What did you say, sir?
So you weren't paying attention, huh?
Yes, I was, but I only came
here... Never mind, never mind. Now, where did you say your dog was?
In Kirgatory. I just wanted to know how to get there.
Uh-huh. Well, now, the only way that... My, my, look at that green clock. It's getting towards morning on Neptune already. Now, who is that calling me at these hours? F.T. speaking. What are you wasting my time for? What do you want? You need a shipment of sand for the Pleiades? Why? What? Can you imagine that, Mr. Phones? He says the sands of time are running low all through the archipelago of the Pleiades. Huh? All right, all right. We're digging some new pits on Betelgeuse, and you'll get your order in two shakes of a comet's tail. Goodbye. Finest platinum sand in the system. It's... Well, now, what are you doing here?
Don't you remember, Father Time? I'm the one who's looking for my dog.
Oh, yes, yes. Mr. Bones.
No, Jones.
You're from Earth, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, then I want you to know that I am heartily ashamed of the kind of time that they have down there in Greenwich.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to understand why.
Yes, sir.
Because it's so mean. It's pretty mean time.
Yes, sir.
And how about you and your dog? I don't know where Kirgatory is at all. It used to be on Sirius, the dog star. But the neighbors complained so about the piteous howling and whining which came from there. Well, they had to move.
Why was there howling and whining?
Why, because all the dogs in Kirgatory are tortured, of course.
Does it hurt them bad?
Well, naturally. What a question. Why, I've heard there are fleas in Kirgatory as big as a lion. That's only one of the attractions.
Is there some way I could find out how to get there?
Well, the only one that I know who could possibly help you is M.N.
M.N.?
Listen, don't you know anything, lad? Mother Nature.
Oh.
Well, well, there goes the vernal equinox on Aldebaran. Now, Mr. Putsy.
No, that's my dog.
A quiet, Putsy. Now, here's how you get to M.N.'s place.
When
first,
you hear the note of the bass bullhorn, that will be time for all visitors who are not invited to get ready to leave.
What a funny name.
Yes, ma'am.
And you came here to ask me.
Well, Father Time said you might know where it is.
Well, I don't, little boy. But let me think. I'll tell you who might. Just off the main skyway between Castor and Pollux, before you get to the red light of McBuddha, there's a harpy
who... Excuse me, Mrs. Nature, but these papers have to be signed right away if you want to get them on the Solar Limited.
Yes. Excuse me, Runyon.
Yes, ma'am.
Formal complaint about an earthquake in California. Test specimen of a new metal for the mountains of East Orion. New species of ants for the Antilles. Replace two worn rings on Saturn. A petition of 26 butterflies of the order Rapalocera.
Hello.
Hello.
You from Battledees?
No, ma'am. I'm from Des Moines.
Looking for a job?
No, ma'am. I want to find my dog.
Oh. Purgatory?
Yes, sir.
That's too bad. No chance, kid.
There. That's finished. Here, Blossom, take these and see that they... Wait a minute. What's that you have in your hand?
A vacuum bottle, ma'am. Some nectar in case I get hungry on the way.
Don't you know I abhor a vacuum? Give me that. Now, Blossom, don't let me lose my patience with you again. If you get hungry, there's plenty to drink in the Milky Way.
Yes, Mother Nature.
Now, Runyon, as I was saying, this harpy is a very strange spirit, full of lots of esoteric knowledge.
Does he know where I can find Putsy?
Well, that I can't tell you. But there's no harm asking. Incidentally, it's a she, not a he. In fact, she's more commonly known as an it.
Does it bite?
Oh, no. But you may have difficulty understanding it because of the way this harpy talks. You will have to hold this little charm. Oh, no, where did I put it? Oh, yes, here it is. You will have to hold this in your left hand while the harpy talks in order to make out anything at all.
Gee, isn't it pretty? It's like an Aggie in marbles.
Yes, it's the most charming charm I have. Don't lose it now, because it has the power of translating the harpy's language into your own.
No, ma'am, I won't lose it. I'll take care of it like as if it was Putsy. Yes, sir. Yes, it. Putsy. No, P-O-O-T-Z-Y. Chasing an automobile. Well, yes, well, you see how it is, sir. A giant? But does it bite? But does he know where Putsy is? You don't know whether he knows? Gosh, nobody seems to know where Kurgatory is. I hope he does. How do I get there, Miss Harpy? The Harpy.
So you've come here expecting me to tell you where Kurgatory is.
Yes, sir, if you know, I mean.
Of course I know.
You do? Oh, gee, will you tell me, please? Oh, gee, gosh, Timony, heck, then you know where Putsy is.
Do you think I'm going to tell a little squirt where Kurgatory is? Why, I haven't told anybody anything for 67 million years, and I don't see why I should start in now.
Putsy. Don't you understand? Putsy. Putsy's there. If you tell me, I can go get him.
Putsy. Sure. I don't care if Putsy's there. Now beat it, small fry. I got worries of my own. Me with two heads to feed and four sets of teeth. Two uppers and two lowers to clean every night. Go on, beat it.
Please, Mr. Giant, please.
What'd you ever do for me?
Nothing, but I'll do anything you want me to if I get Putsy back.
Ha, 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 ha. As if you could do something for me. Go on now, scram before I squash you with my little finger.
But listen to me.
Don't take up my valuable time. Who sent you here in the first place anyway?
The harpy.
The harpy?
Yes, sir.
You don't say. Step on my thumbnail here. And don't slip. I want to talk to you very confidentially. Come up here, near my ear.
Ooh, you're lifting me up so high, I'm afraid to look down.
Now, what do you know about the harpy?
Well, it told me how to get here. It gave me full directions.
It? What are you talking about?
The harpy, sir.
Miss Harpy to you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Well, how the heck could you understand her?
Well, that was easy.
Easy? I've been trying to get next to that creature for the last 4 million years. And every time I ask her for a date, she gives me queer talk. I can't make her out. I think she's stringing me along.
You mean she talks like this?
Yeah. Say, how'd you do that?
Well, I'll tell you how, if you'll tell me how to reach Kurgatory.
Oh, businessman, eh?
No, I just want to swap you, that's all.
Well, all right, tell me how.
Oh, no, first you tell me how to reach Kurgatory.
Well, that's fair enough. Mind you, you're not fooling me now. What you tell me better work.
Sure, it works like a charm. No fooling.
All right, then. Now, get this, kid. First, you go up through that cloud of meteor dust there on the trim tram, and then you change at Sand Sunspot for the Sidereal Ferry. And after that, you go...
That was merely the soul of a wolf passing by the Kurgatorium.
Does it bite?
Don't be alarmed, Mr. Jones. You see, the nearby wolves, who occupy what is known as loop and limbo, resent certain of the policies in practice here in Kurgatory, to say nothing of the smell.
They do?
Ah, that means the board of directors has reached a decision on your application. We can go in now.
Mr. Jones, will you sit here?
Thank you.
Gentlemen of the board, this is Mr. Runyon Jones of Earth, whose request to be reunited with his dog, Putsy, is number 17,006,012. We've just discussed.
Mm.
Mr. Jones.
How do you do,
Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones,
we've gone into this matter most carefully.
That's good.
We fully appreciate the pains to which you have gone and the trouble...
Oh, it was nothing.
...you've taken. We're also aware of the unusual devotion you have shown the said Putsy. And all these factors have entered into our decision.
Yes, sir. Then can I see Putsy and have him back?
The unanimous decision of the board of directors is that you may not.
What? You mean I can't...
Sorry. But it is entirely contrary to the established rules and regulations of the institution. If we made an exception for you,
It might lead to all kinds of complications.
But can I see Putzi for just a minute?
Sorry, Jones.
Not even for a teeny-weeny second. Just to peek at him through the bars and whistle at him like this.
We are all very sorry, Jones, but nothing can be done for you. Incidentally, it may be of some consolation to you to know that there are no bars in Kirgatory.
That's good. Do you torture Putzi Bear? He's got a lame foot, you know. Always had a... I hope you don't hurt him awful.
What do you mean by that?
Cat propaganda.
Just a moment, Jones. I am proud to say that we do not torture any dogs in Kirgatory. Where did you get that terrible idea?
Father Time told me.
Father Time.
Why, don't take any stock in anything he says, Jones.
We shouldn't like this to get back to Father Time, but between you and us, strictly entre nous, that job of his seems to have got the better of him. He's more or less known as a crackpot.
That torture talk is nonsense.
Oh, yes, indeed. Well, we've got a big docket to clear. Hadn't we better show Jones how to get back to the Sidereal Ferry?
Yes, Jones. I'm afraid that closes the case. Sorry.
This way out, Jones.
Can I say just one more thing, gentlemen?
Well, you'll have to make it fast.
Putzi's a good dog. He didn't mean to bite no tires. He just wanted to race the cars to show me how fast he could run. And he could have run faster if he wasn't lame in the leg. And the time he bit the dog catcher, that big bum...
Jones, that's no kind of language.
Well, he was a big bum. He hurt Putzi, and Putzi wasn't doing no harm to nobody. He was just chasing a cat about to staying out all night. That was because he saw me talking to Eddie Mays' bulldog, and he got jealous. You can't blame a dog for that, can you? Honest, Putzi's the best dog in the world. Or else... Why, I come all this way for him.
What about the day the auto ran over him and killed him? Didn't he break away from your leash?
No, sir. The leash broke.
Are you sure of that, Jones? Jones?
No, sir.
Then the said Putzi did break away.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you are again. Please understand that we are sorry, but there's nothing we can do. Next item, gentlemen.
This way out, Mr. Jones.
Goodbye. And so, Putzi, I...
Yes. I'll tell him.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Putzi. Can you hear me?
No, he cannot. I will tell him goodbye for you.
Thank you, sir.
Wait a minute. Jones, where did you get that mark over your right eye?
Oh, that was nothing. I got that in the accident.
What accident?
When I tried to prevent Putzi from being run over.
And?
Nothing.
Well, didn't you reach Putzi in time?
No, sir. Almost. But you see, the car ran over me first.
Oh, the car ran over him?
Yes, sir. That's how I got killed.
Well, now...
We might consider the 7th Kirgatorian cruiser.
Just a moment, Jones. Now, gentlemen... I really think this puts a new complexion on me.
Yes, this is a dog of another color.
Absolutely.
Is there a legal precedent for this dog?
Jones, the status of the case is changed by the fact that you gave your life to save your dog. That comes under the priorities ruling affecting the 7th clause of the Constitution of Kirgatory.
I see. Well, goodbye, Jones.
No, you don't understand. You can have the said Putzi back.
I can see Putzi?
Yes, sir. We'll release the said Putzi from Kirgatory in your custody.
You mean now?
Yes. The officer will take you.
Come, Mr. Jones.
Yes, right away. Thanks. Gee.
Down at the end of the long corridor. Well, here we are. He's right inside that door.
Is he right inside there?
Yeah. Just open the door and walk right in.
Wait a minute.
What is it, Jones?
Do I look all right?
Oh, yes, Mr. Jones.
You've been listening to The Odyssey of Runyon Jones, written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin for CBS and starring Michael Artist in the role of Runyon Jones. The original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Script of The Odyssey of Runyon Jones appears in the book 13 by Corwin. Next week at this time, Columbia presents, as the sixth in the current series, Corwin's new musical pasquinade entitled You Can Dream, Incorporated. Again, with an original musical score by Alexander Semler. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have a rebroadcast of the Norman Corwin verse story about the trial of an uncooperative molecule with an all-star cast, including Vincent Price and Robert Benchley. Groucho Marx plays the judge, and his ad-libs cracked up Keenan Wynn so much during the credits that he just lost it. Enjoy Columbia Presents Corwin, The Undecided Molecule, first broadcast July 17th, 1945 on CBS.
Well, lucky you. You happen to dial this program in time to attend a trial stranger than any since we first learned the knack of breathing. And that was a long time back. The poor folks listening to other stations will lose all this. But congratulations to you for being no such fool as to miss the undecided molecule.
Columbia presents Corwin. Tonight, in the third of a limited series of eight broadcasts for CBS, Norman Corwin brings you The Undecided Molecule, a rhymed fantasy concerning dangerous developments among the elements, as disclosed by Robert Benchley, Norman Lloyd, Groucho Marx, Vincent Price, Sylvia Sidney, Keenan Wynn, and the music of Carmen Dragon, conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Undecided Molecule.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. The cosmic alarm. Which means I fear some woeful harm is afoot or a wing in the universe. Some deplorable thing. Some active curse. Like a falling sky. Or a new star cluster been banged up by a cluster buster. Sounds to me like a dried up sea. Or another ice age for a spell. Nor maybe it's only a freezing hell. On the other hand, it might possibly be that Hitler is alive and well. But after all, there's no point guessing. If it rings again in a manner pressing, I'll answer the interstellar phone. I wish they'd leave a feller alone. Why, only last eon... Hello, hello. Yes, this is he. What? Who? What's that? Say that again. But where? But how? But why? But when? Individually and solely? Now, wait a minute. Take it slowly. It did. Oh, no. Oh, no. Not that. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat. I'll call a session right away. You bet. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, grunt. Oh, moon. Oh, damn it. We are faced with a calamity. I must be cool as liquid air. Hold on. Who's that? Who's pulling my hair? Why, it is I. What am I scary at? Nonsense. I'll phone the secretariat. Oh, dear, I am in such a tizzy.
the obvious guy on the line is busy. I'll try again. There's no harm trying. Oh, I'm dying, Egypt. Dying. Hello. Say, this is the fifth VP in charge of physiochemistry. Now listen here. An especially perky molecule has gone berserk. It has refused to be confined, incorporated, or assigned to anything. It simply sits with a calm expression, and it knits. Now, by all means, we must prevent such an utterly dangerous precedent. One holdout molecule, unpent, can cause the cosmos great ferment. We must arraign this beast and try it. The charge? Inciting particles to riot. Okay, arrange. I mean arraign. I mean all three. I mean the twain. No, never mind. Just get it booked. Or else the universe is cooked. Oh, me, oh, my. Goodbye, goodbye.
Hear ye, hear ye. The Court of Arbitrations and Adjudications of Physiochemical Relations, Department of the Interior of the Atom, Criminal Sitting, Division of Investigation, Charge, Countercharge, Accusation, and Confession is now in session. The court will rise and face the justice who will adjust this case. See that your concentration centers on his honor, the justice, just as he enters. Which he is doing even now. Everybody bow! Everybody bow!
To it. Contrary notwithstanding, you may sit. Clegg, read the charge.
May it please the court at all to wit.
It pleases the court. Get on with it. Whose voice is whom?
The cosmos and all the spheres, systems, clusters, galaxies, orbits, planets, satellites, together with all species of animals, vegetables, and minerals appertaining thereto, of all conditions of age, social standing, and sex, versus the anonymous molecule hereinafter referred to as X.
What's the charge against said molecule?
Unwilling to be named, rebelling when defined, declining to be blamed, objecting when assigned, protesting when selected, resisting an attack, refusing to be directed, and talking back.
Most serious, most dangerous, so strange it's almost strangerous, insidious, precarious, a shade below nefarious. The possibilities inside are frightful, meaning full of fright, and rueful, meaning full of rue, and gruesome, meaning rather grue.
Providing, Your Honor, the charges are true.
Oh, why, yes, they must be proven true.
Which is something we have yet to do.
Quite right, but who was asking you? Now, is the prosecutor here?
Present.
Well, then, appear. The trial's on. Try not to miss it. Step up and state your case and be explicit.
May it please the court, this case involves a very small matter. By this I don't mean mere trivia or idle chatter, but a particle of matter best described as little.
Smaller than a jot?
Even smaller than a tittle.
Are you referring to molecule X?
Yes.
And why don't you say so?
I will, if I may so. The point, Your Honor, is that should X be acquitted here, catastrophe will follow, since it must then be admitted here that all control of elements has given away to anarchy, and every substance will perforce be jittery and panicky. Thus, when we wish a molecule to join up with some other, to make a cup or lemon drop for the Karamazov brothers, to be a fog or a catalogue, or a lawn to be idyllic on, a beagle or a bagel, or a mountain made of silicon, they may refrain, they may desist, and if enough of them should do so, there'll never be another tenor singer like Caruso. No dog to bark, no lark to hark, no grand old man like Talleyrand. No bee will be, you'll see no sea, no ostrich fan for Sallyrand.
It's staggering. It's awesome, the damage X could wreak. By simply playing possum, it makes me rather weak. Clegg, order me a pony spirits of ammonia.
Now there you are. If X's rebellion is indulged, I think it only safe to say, and fair to be divulged, there'll never be another atom of the element ammonium. So take that home and play it on Your Honor's own euphonium.
Young man, I blasted you a disapproving snort and warn you. One more phrase like that. Contempt of court. Now, who is here for the defense?
I am, Your Honor.
Well, commence.
I will. I do so. Now you see, sir.
I see nothing of the sort. Who's paying you your fee, sir?
No one at all. The way it is with me, sir, I'm acting out of interest in civil liberty, sir.
What's liberty to do with it, if you will be so kind?
Just this. Where in the universal law books can you find it's criminal for anything to be of open mind?
The precedent is ample.
It is. Let's have a sample.
Blackstone on the elements. Case of bismuth versus molybdenum.
All drat the books. Our legal forebears doubtlessly all fibbed in them.
Hold on there, you. Why, you upstart. Is not the horse before the cart? Where would we be without tradition?
In some advanced improved position.
What? What? Young man, are you a red? Have you been to the crimson bread?
Neither to crimson nor to purple.
Well, no whipper-snapping twiple. Challenge me. What do you take me for?
A most distinguished expert on the law.
First sensible thing you've said today. Where were we in this trial, by the way?
On the right of X to have an open mind. Now, surely justice is not yet so blind as to be unfavorably disposed.
Towards openness of mind, my mind is closed.
Your Honor, this is scandal.
Now, see here. I can handle this. Let's not have no more of your bold to-do. A molecule must do what it is told to do. Now, that's decided. Suppose we break for lunch. I'm famished. Been a tiring day. I sure would like to crunch. A nice fresh salad bowl of crispy, tangy hashish.
Your Honor, I cannot refrain from calling you a fascist.
Contempt of court. Flank, find the counsel for defendant, please. He has the brass to charge the bench with having fascist tendencies. Ridiculous and ludicrous. Make it a heavy fine. How could I be a fascist? Why, I am so benign, I hardly ever beat my wife. My children bow before me. I'm much admired by rattlesnakes, and birds of prey adore me. I'm tender and I'm sensitive. An anti-insurrectionist. I wouldn't hurt a cobra. And I'm anti-vivisectionist.
I'm sure that's absolutely true, and that you're not the sort who would deny a prisoner his right to speak in court. Your might is mixed with mercy, and wisdom's interfused. So how about a word or two from X, who is accused?
Oh, very well. Since your appeal is to the better side of me, let no one say my conduct here is prejudiced or snide of me. We'll hear from X, but make it short. Where is the little dope?
Right here beneath this new electronic super microscope.
Swear him in.
Put your right hand on the atomic table and say as loud as you are able, I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and buzz was the muzzawala, buzzawala, hut, set, flugu, bugu, put, put, scuffle, button, nothing but the truth. So help me, I. Now testify.
What's that squeaking?
My client, speaking.
Well, how do you expect me to understand?
There's an interpreter at hand.
Where? I don't see any.
Right at your elbow.
Oh, yes. How do you do? I'm very well, Bo. Bo, aren't you getting a bit familiar?
I suppose I am, but please think nil of it.
Can you understand what the molecule says?
Yes. That's my business, isn't it?
A fake character.
Like a film by Disney.
Disney's not involved in this.
Why isn't he?
I don't know. Where does all this lead?
Nowhere.
Then please proceed. To interpret X for the court of Lex. Lex is Latin for law, I guess, which shows I too enjoy access to more than one tongue. I'm a giant intellect. Now let's hear your client.
Proceed if you will, Mr. Molecule. Let your story fairly leap from you.
Oh, come on. Come on. We're waiting now.
The court wants to hear a peep from you.
X says as follows. I cannot bring myself to be just anything that's asked of me. I cannot chide my inner soul. I must confide I've set a goal. I've thought it through and cannot bear to be shampoo for oily hair. My spirit sings, my fiber spiels of nobler things and high ideals. I'll fairly bust my heart within if I am just an onion skin. I worry some. What's drearier than to become bacteria? And when I've tried hard to obey, my conscience cried, but hold, but stay. A worm for bait? I have my pride. I vacillate. I can't decide. Though Hamlet had a hard time, why, he wasn't so sad as little I. You see my lot?
Yes.
It's not for me to be or not, but what to be. My plight inside is bona fide. I can't decide. I can't decide.
I've never been so touched or moved. I sniffle and I blubber. I thought my heart was made of steel, but it is made of rubber. Poor little thing, tormented so by dreams of the eugenics.
Oh, fiddlesticks, this molecule is but a schizophrenic. How is it that in all the time since matter first appeared, each separate iota has loyally adhered to universal law without a solitary beef?
Beef?
Until this pipsqueak came along. Now suddenly there's grief. The heavens shake and earthquakes quake and oceans heave and slither. And dogs and cats and acrobats are in a frightful dither. A timid snip has lost its grip and whines of its neurosis. If you condone this freak, you'll reek of moral halitosis. I strongly urge your honor, purge X to its smallest decimal, or else the infinite will bow before the infinitesimal.
You're right. What was I thinking of to pity Jan Schlemiel? I thought my heart was fairly soft, but it is made of steel. I shall not spoil this molecule by sparing it the rod. And so I sentence it to die before a firing squad. Perhaps a little torture face, like singeing at the stake, and drops of water on the head. And for variety's sake, a little twist of the garrote, a slice of guillotine. And X shall mark the spot where X was boiled in Vaseline.
I ask this sentence be appealed.
Impossible. Your client's fate is sealed.
Ah, no. The court's decision is far from ineluctable. I must remind you, my good sir, that matter's indestructible.
Gadzooks, it is. I had forgot. We can't destroy a particle. It seems we're in the power of this clever young upstarticle.
The case is lost. I must withdraw. If punishment's not capital and X cannot be executed, I don't give a rapital. We can't imprison it. And we'd be in a most infernal stew with cosmic checks and balances eternally askew.
Oh, dear, Vesemir, Vesemir. What will become of all of us? This little Jake and his strange quake will surely be the fall of us.
Your Honor!
You mean me?
May I have a conference with you at the bench?
Why, of course. May I suggest a means by which disaster be evaded? My client is no pighead and may likely be persuaded to join some element or other. X is not a softy.
No.
It merely wishes to belong to something fairly lofty. Its point of view is forward. Its attitude is global. Its heart is set on being part of something good and noble.
How righteous.
So I suggest you demonstrate, and this will never hurt you, that being this or that or t'other has a point of virtue.
Well, how do you propose we do it?
I have a plan. I was coming to it. Invite a representative of each important kingdom.
You mean like Dempsey for the ring or Artie Shaw for Swingdom?
No, but you're warm.
A lion for the jungle or an eagle for all Wingdom?
Keep on. Remember, three of them and one for every kingdom.
Oh, I know. Animal and mineral and, I forget the third.
The vegetable kingdom.
Why, yes, of course. Absurd. That's splendid. We could get them here and each could make a pitch. And X could then make up its mind to which it wished to hitch. I'll call a recess in this trial while we round up a trio. Meanwhile, some music.
Frank?
Yes, sir.
Can you sing Solo Mio?
No, but the court musicians would be very glad to play for you.
Where's the conductor?
I'm right here.
Is everything okay for you?
You bet. Shall I begin, Your Honor, with a prelude by Stravinsky or toccata for the G-string by the famous brothers Minsky?
Have you anything around that Dmitri Shostakovich wrote?
Oh, yes. A Passacaglia, and I'm sure that you will love it, Schnott.
I've changed my mind. I'll have a slug of music by Lynn Murray. The one he calls, Wer klärt der Nacht, one chicken mitten curry. Is that title correct?
Yeah, I fear it is.
Okay, then, play it.
Here it is.
One, two.
For the vegetable kingdom will rise and address the court concerning the advantages to molecule X of joining this classification. With handy allusions to paleontology, plant psychology, stems and flowers, roots and fruits, and outstanding examples of horticulture and botany, if he's got me.
I doubt that X shall ever see an atom lovely as a tree. Why, nothing has got quite the charm of the most ordinary palm, with coffee beans and turpentine, and grapes which make imported wine. And as for molds and types of fungus, we have some noted ones among us. Penicillin is a spore, noble beyond metaphor. Life is earnest, life is sweet, for the common sugar beet. Cotton, spinach, hemp and hop, one could really never stop singing vegetary praise for years and months,
and weeks and days.
Well, X says that trees are chopped for wood and that he sees no special good in being a beet which people eat. X says a palm, though fine in Maine, can come to harm in a hurricane. The grape's a curse, since drink is evil, and cotton is worse for the boll weevil. X does not wish to look for trouble. It's not his dish, the vegetable.
For a molecule that's supposed to be meek, the choosy Mr. X has a lot of cheek. Step down, vegetable. Let mineral speak.
The spokesman for the mineral kingdom will address the court concerning the advantages to molecule X of joining this classification, with allusions to metallurgy, gypsum, filiform silver, motor cars, liquor bars, pickle jars, and manganese. Please.
Now, the way that X can best ensure his choice of substance will endure is to stop his flopping about and settle down to being a respectable metal. Oh, fiddly-dee, fiddly-dum, yum-yum. Oh, boy, aluminum. If he likes the work of Byron, he can be the iron in irony.
That sounds to me like pure, unalloyed non sequitur.
If he wishes to be a worker, he can serve in a column of mercury. And if he'd rather be gay and giddysome, there's radium, uranium, iridium. All tantalum, tungsten, talcum, tin, ipsy, pipsy, bitters, and gin, alto, saxon, copper, tax, raxity, rax, parax, parax, merrily, barely, chilly by gin, triple, I, zinc, and kale.
Team. Are these football yells necessary?
Yes, sir. Very.
Well, what do they mean?
Well, amphibolsphene and pyroxene, being amygdaloidally idiochromatic, may create a stalactitic static, affecting the skeletal speed.
Mm-hmm.
On this, the experts are fully agreed.
Mm. Well, that clears it up very well indeed. Proceed.
If X wants glamour, need he be told of silver, platinum, and gold? And the safest job on any planet is to be a nice, strong rock of granite. If he likes good cooking, a dinner will boil very nicely over mineral oil. Does he cry to be a wagon hitched to a star, then apply to be a Hollywood motor car? Oh, I could pour mineral law before you forever and a day, if it wouldn't bore you.
Well, X says he, that any jury'll find mercury somewhat mercurial. Iron gets rusty, bare rock's too nude, talc is too dusty, oil is crude. The automobile is not his bent, one elliptical wheel means an accident. Gold you can keep. He simply balks at lying deep beneath Fort Knox.
I've never heard such utterly rash, hypercritical balderdash. If I weren't so stately and dignified, I'd take that molecule outside and bop him right in his little beezer. Who does he think he is, Little Caesar? Ah. Let the animal kingdom present its spokesman. Come on. Where is the gent?
Right here, but Your Honor.
All right, begin.
It's a her.
Never mind. Swear him in.
Very well.
The spokesman for the animal kingdom, etc. Species of bird, bee, dog, flea, hen, man. Does solemnly swear, etc. In the name of the llama, new, orc, jock, kangaroo, slippery Dan, Charlie Chan, the common man, and so forth, that he or she will please go forth and testify to the legal cause.
Thank you. I gladly take the floor.
Rather pretty, eh bien? Hello?
I could fascinate X with the mystery of our considerable natural history. I could tell him the fame of each colorful name.
Go on, I'm goose pimply and blistery.
I could tell of a bird named the smew and another eclect, Urubu, of Tsikatai, Doe, and of Tsingle Row.
And a fish that is called in canoe?
Quite true.
And a monkey that's called Wanderoo?
Quite true.
Oh, I just love to listen to you.
I could tell of the vinegaroon, the squacco, the guiduck, baboon, the antelope bongo, the crow known as Drongo.
Will you join me for lunch one day soon?
For the record, may I ask whether these names are real or fictionary?
Don't interrupt. They're all in your dictionary.
Now, the Kapakai has a whistle.
Of course.
Distinct from the Ling and Dick Sissel. The Zabu and Zivet, and Terek of Tibet.
I cling to your words like a thistle.
I urge X to join the toucan or some other nice animal clan, like the beautiful Kuti or charming Agouti.
But what of the species of man?
Oh, that's another subject entirely. I do not recommend that X get involved in the affairs of mankind.
Is that because you believe in the principle of matter over man's mind?
No, but being human would surely hex a sensitive molecule like X.
Just how do you mean, Queen?
Well, it's not so easy to be a common man. No matter how much you work and plan, it's still a neat trick to live the span commonly allotted to the common man. A wandering breeze will affect your pump. If not a measle, then a mump. You can pull a tendon, get roundly hissed, or have to depend on an analyst.
How true.
You can get ptomaine or be undersold. Then there's Franco-Spain.
Fui.
And the common cold. A review can stink. You can miss a guess or be told how to think by the yellow press.
Did I tell you I greatly admire your dress?
No. There's water on the knee and athlete's toes, the doctor's fee and the running nose, aching bursitises, rashes and rickets, colitis and worsitises, and parking tickets.
Not in this court.
You can get diabetes or caught in the rain.
Not in this court.
You can run out of Wheaties or into a train. You can get neurasthenia. A blizzard can chill you. Your wife can be menia. A dentist drill you. A plaintiff can sue you. A bite give malaria. If no lover woo you, alas, miseraria.
Mm. Great legal embroilments. Just let me take care of you.
Thank you. A fascist will fight you. And then there is asthma. Vampires can bite you and whine on your plasma. You can be badly reared and flunk out in Latin, or tangle your beard in spaghetti au gratin.
It's fattening.
You can get a flat tire, drop teeth in the drain, or suffer a dire escutcheon stain. You can drown in the Dnieper or suffer the bends. You can wind up a leper and lose all your friends.
Hard to wind up a leper.
You can settle in Philly or step in a pail or feel willy-nilly and cease to inhale.
How morbid, depressing, in fact, suicidal. By the way, have you ever an hour that's idle?
Your Honor, my client has something to say.
I could meet you, What's that about X again, eh?
He's ready, I said.
Well, let him go ahead.
X says as follows. I'm glad to know the awful truth. Man has such woe, forsooth, forsooth.
What philosophy.
Yet what he's done, proud hands can clap. He's beaten the Hun and Will the Jap. He flies the air just like a smew and swims for fair like the Incanoe.
Yes, like the Incanoe.
He has a soul. He reads Descartes. Like me, his goal is a thing apart. He's learned to kill the harmful bug by serum, pill, and sulfur drug. He beats the band and goes to school to understand the molecule.
You're the rascals.
In face of odds, he makes his way. Gives birth to quads, builds TVA. Displays his charms, plays blindfold chess, listens to Brahms and CBS.
CBS, of course.
The common guy both thinks and feels. Nothing's too high for his ideals. Though it cost him sadly to put down Jerk.
Please.
He's not done badly. Look at his works. For all his pains, we owe him thanks. And I do gladly join his ranks. The human flock has golden fleece, grace to its stock and lasting peace.
Oh, splendid. What a moving speech. I had thought X a worm, a leech. But now I see he's a regular fellow. He's twanged me so I quiver like jello. Oh, joy, oh, rapture, fields of clover.
Looks to me like trial's over.
Quite so. My dear X, forgive the digression, but I'm sure you'll be happy in your chosen profession. As for you, Miss Anima, you are great. It's slightly extra legal, but, have you a date for later in the evening? Do you like to dance? Have you any marked tendency toward romance?
I have. But what about the wife you seldom beat and the children you have mentioned who grovel at your feet?
Oh, ho, ho! Mere rhetoric and figmentary frippery. The legal mind behaves this way. It's very smooth and slippery when arguing. I have no wife or any such a fixture.
In that case, I will marry you, as in a Class B picture. We'll create a happy ending, plus two children of each sex.
To be a part of one of them, shall we invite friend X?
Magnificent idea, that. Is our future child agreed?
X says indeed, and asks you speed your visit to the Reverend so we can have a life to lead and bring this to a clever end.
Hooray, I thought you'd never end. Will the court musicians kindly advance to the mic and play a wedding dance? And then after that, please segue and sally into a sort of a kind of finale. 1, 2, 3.
You have been listening to The Undecided Molecule, a rhymed fantasy written and directed and produced by Norman Corwin for CBS as the third of eight programs in the series Columbia Presents Corwin. Carmen Dragon composed the music, Lud Gluskin conducted.
That gifted man, Robert Benchley, appeared as the interpreter for the molecule. And you can see me soon in the Paramount picture, Duffy's Tavern.
It was Norman Lloyd who did that wonderful work as the highly competent official clerk.
Quiet.
Oliver Wendell Groucho Marx appeared as the judge. And I'm going to be together with my brothers on the stage and screen again in a night in Casablanca. Some one of these nights. Good night.
Vincent Price as the prosecutor was convincing and smooth and even slick. And you can catch me soon in 20th Fox's Dragon Witch.
It was Sylvia Sidney who convinced the molecule that being a human being can be fun. And if you'd like to see more of me, I'm appearing in a new film entitled Blood on the Sun.
I, Keenan Wynn, in sound mind and body...
I object.
...performed as the counsel for the defense of the molecule. And to give you an idea how versatile I am, I was also the spokesman for the vegetable mineral.
Next week at this time, Columbia presents one of the most popular and often requested programs from last year's series, New York, A Tapestry for Radio, starring Orson Welles in the role of the narrator. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.